Hello, and welcome to the Television Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be having a spoiler-filled discussion about a television show that we think you'll enjoy. In this episode, I'm joined by my sister Kay, and we're going to have a spoiler-filled discussion on the first half of the fourth season of Star Trek Discovery. It was 7 episodes. Mm-hmm. They're breaking for at least 6 weeks. We have no idea how many episodes they're returning with. First season was 15, second season I think was 14, third season was 13, so maybe 12, who knows? Maybe 50, I doubt it. This season is a little, every season's been a little different than the one before.
Yes.
And I really think they've been struggling to find the show that they're telling.
Well, one of the comments that I read maybe 2 or 3 seasons in was the reason that they've changed the captain every season is because this was a show about the ship, not the captain, not the bridge crew, the ship. And it just occurred to me that this season they've taken that quite literally.
Yeah, with Zora becoming sentient, the ship's AI becoming a new life form, which they'd actually done around season 2 with the Short Trek episode, which was really well done. And they took it at the episode right before the break, episode 7 here, to that point of, is it a life form, is it not? And we've seen that debated half a dozen times in Star Trek, and I think they handled it very well here.
Well, and I think they surprised me when they brought Adira and Gray into the conversation, but they did really well with that. And
yeah.
They've really been building the relationship between Gray and Zora.
Well, and also the parallels of each of them being kind of a unique life form, mm-hmm. and whatnot. It worked well. I think it was the whole bit with Zora was a little undercut by the we've got to go after the poorly named alien race 10C, because they've got no other designation. And do we communicate with them or attack them? And that being what they're literally cutting between.
Yeah.
I think this could have and arguably should have been its own episode.
Yeah.
And we could have gotten some definite backstory on Zora and kind of almost her perspective on everything.
Well, and it would have actually been interesting because we really didn't see the bridge crew this episode. I mean, they kind of got flashed in Zora's memories.
They were literally in flashbacks, but not in the here and now.
Yeah, but it would have been interesting if when they'd been doing kind of their investigation of Zora's sentience, if they'd interviewed the various bridge crew members with kind of a, when did you realize Zora was evolving and Zora was not the ship's computer you're used to interacting with?
Well, and the ladies at Con and Ops should have had something to say on all of that. And even if there'd been a line of they're all busy with the refits or whatever.
Yes.
But you're refitting the ship and you're debating if you're going to yank the computer out of it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of kind of mixed messaging there.
Well, and this whole season, but specifically these 7 episodes and then leading into the back half, they're dealing with the Dark Matter Anomaly, the DMA.
I dislike it when they've got to abbreviate the thing, and I think the Dark Matter Anomaly is not a great name to begin with. And this whole thing that is light years wide and wiping out a planet, but presumably could do it to any other, I half expect them to turn out to be the ones that accidentally created the thing, because the genius scientist they introduced the last 2 episodes here, I think, is kind of behind it.
He definitely comes across as being behind it, as possibly have he either purposely or accidentally created it. He's hard to trust.
The part I find confusing, and I think they need to address, is the one guy from Starfleet that was assessing Zora, I forget his name, he has experience with people from different realities. Yet this genius guy is claiming to be from another reality, yet wasn't he brought in by Starfleet? So have they not checked him for this?
Or is it just another thing he's saying to get what he wants?
Yeah.
Which is my problem with him.
He's very hard to trust. It's very clear he needed Booker and therefore sort of set things up to get in with Booker. And I get the need to have a season-long arc. Mm-hmm. I'm not even against that. But to spend the first half of trying to have the characters figure out what the threat really is gets a little tiresome. And there's an aspect of this one, while it's very different from the Burn and the whole Red Angel stuff, there's enough similarity.
Yeah, I was thinking very early on that it felt like this was the new Burn, and I didn't care for that.
Yeah.
In part because the Burn was so recent.
Well, literally. I mean, they just got over it 6 months, a year ago, as the story is being told.
Well, and the first episode, I mean, on the one hand, I didn't like ending last season with basically the Federation was turning into freighters, and we're going to go deliver dilithium. But the first episode, the dilithium delivery was actually kind of fun.
It was, but in a Star Trek movie sort of way, not in a Star Trek TV show kind of a way.
I'll give you that.
I didn't object to it.
Well, but it was full of the miscommunications that happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the, do you really want to send a Starfleet captain to do diplomacy?
What I would have liked is, as it was all falling apart because of the miscommunications, of Booker to have said to Michael, you know, I thought you were good at this. Hey, it's been 900 years.
Yes, yes.
You know, kind of a, haven't made first contract in a millennia.
What? And there were definite tones of Michael specifically, but the Discovery crew in general, being used to remind the Federation of the old ways of the Federation, the original ideals.
Which in and of itself is a little redundant to how Pike was being treated at the end of that season.
Yeah.
We kept you off the board because we knew we were going to have to do things that our ideals didn't hold up to, and you were the best of us.
Yeah.
So there's a redundancy, a recycling, or reuse of certain themes and stuff, which isn't catastrophic, but for a show about boldly going on new directions and new places, a little ironic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've enjoyed this season, but there have been a couple of things they've done that just made me think, did they not know what they were going to do next week when they filmed this one?
There's some of that. For me, I'm just so surprised that we haven't had even stray lines of dialogue that allude to the characters looking into what became of the colony they grew up on. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I had a sister. It turns out she has X thousand descendants. You know, things like that.
The closest they've come to that sort of thing is Bryce seems to have esoteric knowledge of surfing, sonar, all aquatic things.
Yeah.
That would come up, but never, I mean, again, that would have been nice if, you know, I used to go to this planet and do this, or I've been to here, look how it's changed, or I've never been, I want to see the history.
Yeah.
You know? An aspect of their dropping off dilithium is an excuse to get them there, but then having them be requested speakers at the History Academy or, the, you know, somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, a cultural exchange aspect could be interesting.
Well, the other thing that they haven't touched on that has the potential to be interesting is if they basically go to a world that believes it's full of ethnic purists.
Mm.
And they have on board someone of that species.
Yes.
And basically when they go to compare the genetic matter, these ethnic purists discover they're not as pure as they thought.
That would have been funny. That would have been nice. The other thing I would have been tempted to do this season was have Starfleet put some people on the ship.
Mm-hmm.
Get to see them once in a while. Give them a distinctive uniform, something. Find out they are reporting back to Starfleet. And can we trust Starfleet? What's going on? Are they spying on us? It turns out, no. These are anthropologists.
Yes. Yes.
They're studying their own history.
Yeah.
You know, we're trying to learn from you, sort of a, because it's a plot line that almost writes itself in this situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and because you literally have a community.
Yeah.
You don't just have an isolated figure like in the series of books we were reading,
mm-hmm.
where one person had survived.
Yeah, it's not John Gary in the Lost Fleet stuff. It's you've got the full ship.
Yeah.
That's out of time. And again, embedding the anthropologists.
Mm-hmm.
Could have been very interesting, particularly since you know one or two of them would kind of almost go native.
Yes.
So, and the flip side of that is they took Tilly took her off the ship to go do some stuff at the academy.
Mm-hmm. And they did a slow build to that.
Yes. They were setting that up, and it worked.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, because I felt this season had a different feel to it in terms of who and what they were focusing on.
I would agree.
This is a much more family season.
Yes.
Michael and Book.
Mm-hmm.
The Doctor. Shoot, I'm blanking on the engineer's name.
Stamens.
And kind of their almost two adopted kids.
Yes.
Which is the almost epitome of the, I don't say the anti-nuclear family, but instead of a mom and dad and a boy and a girl and stuff, you've got a gay couple, mixed race, with two transgender kids, essentially, one of which is kind of artificial, one of which is a Trill, too. Both of which technically are Trill, sort of.
I couldn't decide if they were meant to be transgender or almost androgynous.
Or non-binary, yeah. Something.
Yeah.
But it works reasonably well. The only part of all of that I felt they tripped up on was when they gave Gray a body.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of wavy hands put him into the body. And I felt that when you've got the Trill guidance guy doing it on a hologram phone call equivalent across the galaxy.
Yeah, that was my issue.
I'm like, you need to be there in person, dude.
Yeah.
But then the next episode, Gray's hair has radically changed.
Yeah, well, and they had given him a chance to look at the synthetic body and make any changes he wanted.
Yes. So I felt that should have been done in the change. Oh, it'd be nice to have long hair. Well, okay.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't like it, you can always cut it, kind of a deal. The other problem I had with that was putting Gray into a synthetic body. They referenced that it happened in Picard, but just some guy had had it.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was tried again. It wasn't a good success rate, whatever. Picard as just some guy.
Yeah, just some admiral.
I get that the Doctor had skipped over Picard's entire life and times and a few centuries after. He still seemed like a big enough deal.
Well, especially since we had a ship named the Janeway.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and it would have been interesting, particularly in the assembly scene there at the end, to have had something that looked Borgish.
Mm.
Even they've been incorporated, you know, kind of a thing. We've made peace with them or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Because of
yeah.
Locutus, a.k.a. Picard. There's a lot they could have done to make that tie in a little bit better versus, oh, we did it here, we'll do it there.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got to wonder if the shows knew which each other one was doing or not.
Interesting question, yeah.
So I thought killing off all of Book's home planet, a little heavy-handed,
mm-hmm.
a little reminiscent of Vulcan having been destroyed in the movies, Romulus in the TV shows.
Well, and they claimed that they were going to look for other people like Book who were off-planet at the time, but they gave the impression they never found Aang.
Yeah. Yet they haven't closed the loop on that, and I think they should have.
Yeah.
And Book going through all of that, Discovery's the right ship for him to be on, because everybody else has lost everything by having journeyed, mm-hmm. you know, 930 years into the future. With Michael as the ironic exception, because her mother's still around.
Yeah.
Which I felt undercut it and such. And it would have been interesting if Book had, like, you can't understand what I'm going through, and somebody else saying, we all understand what you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't lose just our planet.
Yeah.
We lost our entire universe.
The closest they came was when Book basically asked the Doctor when he was serving as therapist, who do you go to for therapy, basically?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you need therapy, and who do you go to?
Well, I thought that was a great use of the Doctor, having him double the ship's counselor. And out of all the Doctors in Trek we've had, this is the one that actually has a bedside manner.
Yes, I would agree.
I mean, if you had to pick which Doctor of Trek's to go to, I think there may be maybe others that could do better. But I don't know, you know, as good as McCoy is and stuff, if I had the choice of all of these Doctors, I don't know that I'd pick McCoy. I think this is the one I'd go with.
This one and Beverly Crusher are my favorites.
I like this one better than Crusher. Certainly better than Pulaski.
Oh, definitely.
Bashir, I thought, was okay. The hologram Doctor has his own charm, as holographic as it may be. Certainly, I think Picardo is a great actor.
Yeah.
Did a good job there. Phlox, no, not for me. nothing wrong. I think he was a great character, but, and again, great actor. But having a doctor here that's doubling his ship's counselor for a ship full of people that are in almost perpetual need of therapy, yet still seem to be well-adjusted.
Well, and he's doing more than just typical talk therapy.
Yeah.
You know, he's looking for outside-the-box ways to help people that they can be doing kind of in their daily life, like Tilly's get outside her comfort zone.
I would like to see a day in the life episode with the doctor, maybe a week, where you get the sense other stuff's going on for Discovery. But this is him checking in with a lot of the bridge crew, the key members, a few we haven't seen, maybe Linus and a few others, of the things we don't normally see that he's doing to keep the ship working the way it works and these people as sane as they are, given the crazy circumstances.
What would be funny to me is if they basically did the week he had to do everyone's annual physicals, because you would get a lot of appointments being adjusted because of whatever crisis is happening up on the bridge or in engineering or wherever. So it's kind of through someone coming and saying, so-and-so had to reschedule engineering just XYZ, and him basically going, not again. And that's how you find out what's happening with Discovery.
Yeah.
And the people who do make it in for the physical is where you kind of get
the same idea. Half. I just wouldn't link it to the physical. But basically, he has an appointment with somebody and somebody else shows up. If they couldn't make it, but I took their slot, they can have mine, kind of.
Yeah.
How the crew is helping themselves sometimes. And it makes his life a little more spontaneous than he may like.
Mm-hmm.
But it just seems like a great day in the life sort of a plot line or something. You know, how are they adjusting? It's been, you know, 2 years since they journeyed to the future, or it's some kind of, it's, have it be, instead of around the physical, it's some sort of a date that's heightened everybody's awareness, you know, that they're not where they were.
I still would love to see an episode where some former Federation planet finds a time capsule that Spock and the Enterprise left behind for them.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of a, we had to take your secret to our graves, but we could leave this for you.
Well, and I would have that come through the president of Navar.
Yes.
And they're doing some interesting relationship stuff with her and Saru.
They are. I'm loving that.
Yeah, I think that's some good stuff. And again, that goes towards the family aspect.
Yeah.
So, and why I'd like to see an episode, not that we'll get it, but one that focuses on some of the bridge crew members and how they're a surrogate family, you know, while the captain's off doing whatever, Saru, you know, is doing whatever, and other things are going on.
Yeah.
Get the sense of how are they spending their off hours as a de facto makeshift family during all of this. And I think there's some great stuff you could do with Zora in that kind of an episode.
Yeah.
You know, if we find out that, and I'm blanking on the names, Khan and Ops, those two ladies, Bryce, who's in, I guess, the communication area, they've got one or two others that regularly show up. It's time for their, you know, weekly meal or whatever. And they've invited Zora as part of that.
Yeah.
You know, kind of a deal. So I think there's a lot they could do. I think there's a lot they are doing. But it gives the show a different flavor and texture to it than it had in previous seasons. And not good or bad, just different. And there are, again, a few times where it's like, you're doing this episode, like, again, Gray's long hair, why wasn't that set up previously when you had an opening for it? And a few unclosed loops so far, you know, have they found other people from Book's planet or not? And, again, the scientist is going to be a big thing, I think, in the second half. And I think it's going to come down to, we can't trust him. I just wonder if he's in it alone, if he really is from another reality. Is there something going on with this new president? Because they're building something there.
I think they've been using her as kind of the embodiment of politicians for that social commentary.
Well, they took what had been the admiral's role and almost split that in two.
Yes.
And it allowed them not to have the admiral in a few episodes.
Yeah.
And Odette Ferrer, I've got to imagine, is in demand in other places, too. He's a great actor.
He is, yeah.
So nice having him on the show, but I think this president's doing a good job, too. I'd like to have an explanation as to who the president in hiding had been last season, because she was clearly the new president.
Yes. Yeah.
So they're doing some interesting stuff, but they're also playing the tech is just, it's there, it's magic, it does what it needs to when it needs to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were rules and ways it worked before.
Details.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to how the season, you know, resolves and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I figure this whole dark matter anomaly is going to be the arc for the remainder of the season, as is the genius guy. And again, I'm expecting he's inadvertently going to have been behind it the whole time.
That's my fear.
I just wonder if it's going to leave Book in a position where he's still with the Enterprise, or not the Enterprise, the Discovery in the ship, or not, or if it's an end game for him.
I'm wondering when Book catches on that he's being used.
Yeah.
Because I think that affects a lot.
I think he has to. I think he is planning on coming back to Discovery, hence leaving Grudge. In other words, I think he doesn't trust this guy as much as he would like to.
He knows he's walking into danger.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't know where or how this is going to end. And I think a lot of that isn't just, oh, we're only halfway through the season, but that there are reveals that need to happen in the second half of the season to give us a context for the end.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they've put all their cards on the table yet.
No.
So curious where it goes. Enjoying it so far. It's still not as Trek as I would like it to be.
Yeah.
But they've got a great cast. They've got some good writing. They're doing some interesting stuff. There have been a few times where I felt they got a little more artsy than they should have. The scene when they got to the other ship that had artificial gravity problems.
And they kept rolling the camera.
They're on the roof. Now they flipped it and they flipped it. They flipped it kind of. It's like, I get it. Stop doing that. Pick an orientation and go with it.
Yeah.
But they also had some very deep moments in that episode.
And good moments for Tilly.
Yes. Did some good stuff just all the way around.
Good leadership moments for Tilly, but also kind of a soul-searching moment for Tilly when it's, so what are you going to do after we survive this, we're not going to survive this type situation? And she's just sitting there going, I have no idea.
Mm-hmm. Her finding her way, I think, is going to be a sub-subplot, if you will, for this season. And we're going to see a lot of the development of that at the end, probably, and not see most of it.
Yeah.
But see the ramifications of it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's part of the universe building, I think, and community building they're doing. That's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I think that does it.
Cool.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.